really continuing right where we left off. And I'll read to you the passage we're studying, starting in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. So you follow along as I read. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray the passage of Scripture here will become a blessing to our lives as we realize that you sent the Apostle Paul out to us to preach your words of peace, so that we might be brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled unto you and in one body and forever yours through faith in his finished work of Calvary. May that be our understanding as we conclude this study today. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. You were up there in verse 13 where it says, "But now in Christ ye were sometimes far off." That means some time ago we were a long way away from God. We're talking about Gentiles. You'll notice in verse 11 it talks about, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles." What a Gentile is in your Bible, it means any nation other than the nation of Israel. And in time past, before the Apostle Paul was called to go and preach a message to Gentiles, you and I were far away from God. You and I, as it says there in verse 12, that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Israel had all the wealth, all the promises of God. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We're far away from God without hope, without salvation, without a promise. And there was where we were. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye that were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Well, it'd be great just to know or just to have that blessing that one time we were far away from God, but now we can be brought nigh unto God. There's the work that brought it about. It says, "made nigh by the blood of Christ." That refers to the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. And he didn't just shed his blood for the nation of Israel and for the covenants of the nation of Israel. Apostle Paul goes out and tells us he shed his blood for you and I, that God today might reconcile both a Jew and a Gentile in one body and make peace with God, so that we who are far off can be made nigh unto Christ. So the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, the Apostle Paul had a message that we were involved in that. And not only did God have that work and fulfill that work in the Lord Jesus Christ, but verse 17 says, "and came and preached peace to you that were far off." And, you know, that's interesting because if you look at who it's talking about God in verse 16. "And that he might reconcile both unto God," that's both a Jew and a Gentile, "that Jesus Christ might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that are far off." The Lord Jesus Christ, or God, came and preached peace to us who are far off. Did Jesus Christ ever come to your neighborhood, knock on your door, preach peace to you? Well, I want you to realize that when Jesus Christ sent the Apostle Paul out, that's Jesus Christ preaching peace to you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." God is asking us to come and receive the peace that's bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we who were Gentiles one time without God, without hope, and without the covenants and without the blessings of God, are now by the blood of Christ brought nigh unto God, if we'll receive that peace, if we'll trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we'll realize that he bought the means by us to be reconciled unto God. But as we're studying the passage, not only is that precious truth run right through there, but Paul's telling us in verse 11, remember that there was a time this wasn't true. And you know, this is something that much of Christendom fails to do. Most of Christendom think that wherever they read in their Bible, and any time that God ever worked in the Bible, that he had me in mind and he was doing it for me. And that's just not true. According to verse 11, Paul says, remember that in time past, you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. There was a time that God wasn't calling us. We weren't nigh unto God. He wasn't calling us. He wasn't saving us. We weren't part of the promises and the hope and in the salvation package. We were apart from all of that. And Paul is reminding us that not only that that was true in time past, but the truth is, but now it's different. And that now has to do with the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the age in which we're living today. We as Gentiles gather together to hear about what God has done for us in Christ and what hope he has extended to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of eternal life, the hope of being called up to meet the Lord in the air and to ever be with him. We have that now, and it's important for us to know there was a time we didn't, but now we do. And like I say, most of Christianity don't realize that when they study their Bible, that there's times in this Bible that we weren't part of God's plans and program. And the way that you'll know when you read your Bible which part of the Bible is when God was not dealing with you, the context tells us what it is. First of all, it was when he was dealing with the circumcision made with hands. You see that verse 11? Wherefore remember that ye in time past being Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without. So that you can go back in your Bible, and when you find God dealing with the nation of Israel, he's not dealing with you as Gentiles. He's not offering you promises and blessings. And any time that you go back and God's dealing with Israel, you're out. So that's one of the marks that you can keep in mind. Then it got changed. But now watch verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one. God has now taken a Jew and a Gentile, and he became the peace for both of us to come to God. And he made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God made a difference between a Jew and a Gentile. And he gave Israel promises, and there was a time he was dealing with them. And when he was dealing with them, he built a wall between us. He separated the Jew and the Gentile and made a difference. Whenever you see there's a difference between a Jew and a Gentile, you're excluded from those promises and what God is doing at that time. Just remember that. But then there's something else. Verse 15 says, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That is, there was not only a wall between a Jew and a Gentile in time past, and when there was that wall, God was only dealing with the nation of Israel. But also, during that time that there was a wall, God was dealing in ordinances and laws. And when you come to a place in your Bible where God is dealing in law, that's when he's dealing with Israel. That's when there's a difference between Israel and a Gentile. That's when circumcision meant something important. And that leaves you excluded too. When God was working under the law, you were excluded. Those three things designate time past. When circumcision was important, and when I say circumcision, I'm talking about physical circumcision. I'll get back to that in a minute. When circumcision was important, when there was a difference between a Jew and a Gentile, and when God was dealing under the law, that's when you and I were without Christ, without God, without hope in this world. But right now, things are different. Why? Because circumcision isn't important to God. There is no division between a Jew and a Gentile, and God's not dealing with law, he's dealing with grace today. And now, through that, we're made nigh unto God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those three things make the distinction, and when you find those in the Bible, you'll know whether you're part of that or whether you're excluded from that. And only when you come to Paul's epistles do you find out that God isn't involved in circumcision. He says in Galatians chapter 5 that if you be circumcised, God will profit you nothing. Oh, that's the but now time, isn't it? And that during that time, not only is circumcision not important to God, but also there's no difference between a Jew and Gentile. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23 says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference between a Jew and a Gentile. It says in Romans chapter 10, there's no difference. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So in Paul's epistles, there's no difference. And then when you come to Paul's epistles, he says, you are not under the law. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. Romans chapter 6. And so under Paul's epistles, circumcision is important. There's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile, and we're under, not under law, but we're under grace. In Paul's epistles is the time in which but now exists, when we can come unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ during this time that he calls in Ephesians chapter 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, in verse 11, we talked about and we saw last time how that if you go back to Genesis chapter 17, God made a covenant to Abraham about the nation of Israel that he was going to create, and he made a sign to that covenant. He gave them circumcision. And from that time in your Bible, circumcision is very important. You must needs be circumcised. But then we close that last time by coming to Acts chapter 15, in which Paul's out among the Gentiles teaching you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. And the Jews in Jerusalem in Acts 15 learn about that from the Apostle Paul for the very first time. There was a change when God saved the Apostle Paul and sent him out to the Gentiles. But I want you to see in this verse 11, notice the emphasis. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now what that means physical Gentiles. Nationalities that we were born in, but also we were called this, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You got a double emphasis there. The Jews were not only called the circumcision, but they were the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And you know what that means? That means it's physical circumcision that's man-made. And there was a time that men physically circumcised themselves to be part of the nation of Israel so that they could be part of the commonwealth of Israel. Salvation used to be through the Jews. And Gentiles could become a Jew through circumcision and be part of those blessings, but that was something physically they did, and they did it by a work of their own hands. But watch this. Come over to Philippians chapter 3. Now, I'm not sure what I shared last time, so I might duplicate some things. But watch this. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren, I'm going to help you, because we're going to look at a lot of passages, but they'll be right close together. Philippians is the book after Ephesians. Philippians 3:1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's where your rejoicing is. To write the same things to you, indeed, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision. Now, wait a minute. Paul said we were called the uncircumcision, weren't we? Didn't he? Well, listen to what he's got to say. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, that's talking about is we're circumcision, but we're not a physical circumcision, are we? We're circumcision that rejoice not in our flesh, but in Christ Jesus. And not by the works of our hands, because we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in ourselves. Our confidence is in Christ. Our confidence is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he accomplished at Calvary. Now, but he calls us the circumcision. That's kind of strange when we're Gentiles and we really are the uncircumcision. But watch how he says that. Come over now to the next book, Colossians chapter 2. And watch what he says here in verse 10. It says, and ye are complete in him. That is, in Christ Jesus. And that's where all our blessings are. Ye who are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And in Christ now we are complete. It says, and ye are complete in him who's the head of all principalities and powers, in whom, in Christ, ye are circumcised. I'm circumcised in Christ. Now that's not physical. That's when I'm placed into Jesus Christ, I'm circumcised. In what means? It says, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. By Christ's death on the cross, I was placed into Christ and my sins were cut away from me. The sins of my flesh were cut away in the sight of God. Why? Because in the sight of God, I'm in Christ. Now, this is not a physical circumcision. This is something spiritual. It's being put into Christ, and through his work on the cross, I'm now seen as clean. Verse 12 says, buried with him by baptism, whereunto we are raised with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. There is a baptism here, and this is a baptism where I'm placed into Christ. That's the word baptism means. Not only when I was placed into Christ was I circumcised, but when I was placed into Christ, I died with him. I was buried with him by baptism, wherein also ye are raised with him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. He made us alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And what this is talking about, as you see through here, if it's the operation of God, if it's made without hands, then what we're talking about is not something physical that you do that's in your flesh. What we're talking about is a spiritual relationship that you are seen identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're dead with him and your sins are removed and you're forgiven of all your trespasses before God because of your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, blotting out handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Not only did circumcision make a difference, but we also said that God made a division between Jew and Gentile, and the law was there to make a difference too. Now, what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross, he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and nailed it to the cross. You know what he did? He took the law totally away. Because the law condemned us, and the law also established the fact that Israel was different than you and I, that Israel was special, that Israel had God's laws and you and I as Gentiles didn't have them. Then, and as a result, Israel was a holy nation and we were unclean as a people before God. But not only did Jesus Christ die and in him my sins were removed from me and I'm forgiven of all my sins, but then he took the law and he removed the law as well because the law kept condemning me, but I'm not under law anymore, I'm under grace. And it says in verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, in respect of a holy day or new moon or Sabbath, Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things, what's this? To come, but the body is of Christ. You know, he takes the law and he takes all the holy days of Israel, and he said they are shadows of what? Things to come, but in exception to what's to come, the body is of Christ. What God is doing today, he's forming the body of Christ, taking Jew and Gentile, placing them in one body, the body of Christ. But you know, in time past, God was doing something with Israel, and when they were under that law, they had all these Sabbath days and new moons and holy days. And now we're told that those are shadows of things to come when God in the future will again deal with the nation of Israel. But now he's not dealing with the nation of Israel, he's dealing with the body of Christ. And we become part of the body of Christ through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to not only see that circumcision made a difference, I want you to see some verses in the Old Testament how that God made a difference between Jew and Gentile. So that you'll realize that in time past, when he made a difference, this does not involve you. Come back with me in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus. That's the book after Genesis. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 11. Now watch these verses. They're real clear. When you're back here in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, God called out Abraham, gave him circumcision, and that made the first difference between a Jew and a Gentile. But when you come to the book of Exodus, Israel is living in Egypt. They're living together in Egypt. In fact, they're slaves to the Egyptians. And now God is going to take Moses and lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And in order to do that, he's got to put 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. As he's putting these plagues upon the Egyptians, he was careful not to place the plague upon the nation of Israel. Why not? Well, look at Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. And it says, "And against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Now you know what? God made a difference when he gave Israel circumcision, and now their promises are going to come as a result of them being circumcised and identified as God's covenant people. They were God's people. But now they've multiplied in Egypt, and they live right among the Egyptians. But now God is going to separate them out, make a difference between them and the Egyptians, and in the process of making the difference, Egypt gets plagued, but Israel doesn't get plagued. Why? So that people will know that there's a difference. God made a difference in time past. Now that's important to know, because I want you to hold your place in Exodus. Come over with me and see the clear contrast between that and what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. I quoted it, but I want you to see it. Now, if you get to the book of Romans, that's just a couple books before Ephesians, I want you to look at Romans chapter 3, and I want you to put a piece of paper there, because I want you to look again another time just to the book before Romans. But right now, Romans chapter 3. Paul himself, by nationality, is Jewish. And he's been spending three chapters in the book of Romans proving that everybody in this world is a sinner. So he says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, what then, are we better than they? Now it's interesting, he's writing to Romans, Gentiles. But there is at Rome Jews, and he just got done condemning the Jews that were at Rome. But before he did that, he condemned the Gentiles that were at Rome. And so his point is, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? And his answer is, no, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they're all under sin. Now watch, look at verse 22. It talks about the solution is the righteousness of God. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Why? For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know, you're over here in Exodus, and God's making a difference between Israel and Egypt. Israel is his people. Egypt are sinners that he's plaguing with plagues and judging them for their paganism. God made a difference there. He was the God of Israel, not the God of the Gentiles. But you come to the book of Romans, and there's a big change in your Bible, isn't there? What happened in Exodus is time past. But when you come to Romans, it's but now. And but now, in this present time, there's no difference between a Jew and Gentile. We're all under sin. Now, it's very important for you to realize that when you say, oh, great, God's not just the God of Israel anymore. He's made no difference between a Jew and Gentile. Before you say, oh, great, realize that what it said when it said there's no difference. There's no difference, for all have what? Sinned and come short. There's no difference in the sense that we're all condemned today. Well, that's not really good news yet. But the good news is that we who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, and he is our peace who hath made both one and reconciled us back unto God. Before God reconciles Gentiles to God through his blood, before we can be reconciled, Israel also had to be cut off and be just like us, in sin, coming short of the glory of God. And then when we're both in sin, then the blood of Jesus Christ and the message of grace is that the blood of Jesus Christ can bring our peace to bring us back nigh unto God together in one body. And that's what God is doing today. But boy, he sure wasn't doing it back there in Exodus, was he? Clear and simple, he wasn't. Come over to Exodus chapter 12. Now hold your place in Romans. But I want you to look at Exodus chapter 12. And by the way, it said one of the things that was against us, it says, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 14. It says, this day shall be unto you a memorial. This is the first time that God appointed Israel a feast day. This day shall be unto you a memorial. You shall keep a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now that's the first time the word ordinance appears in your Bible. And it has to do with God took, when he set up ordinances, that was taking Israel and giving them some ordinances that didn't apply to us as Gentiles. We didn't have all the holy days and the new moons. Why? We didn't have a physical way of worshiping God. We didn't have a temple to go to. We didn't have sacrifices. We didn't have the law and the feast days and a city that we're to gather in. Israel had all that, and they physically did all that. You read about that all in the Old Testament. But we don't rejoice in all those physical things today. We don't rejoice in going to a city and going into a temple and offering a physical sacrifice and presenting our physical bodies in a way that we're circumcised and then therefore accepted of God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God not in the flesh, but according to what Jesus Christ did. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. God's dealing spiritually today, calling us to come and realize what Christ did and be saved that way. And when I talk about being saved, I told you already you're condemned. I'll make sure I get to the fact that you can be saved and show you that you can and how to be saved. But when I say that, I want you to realize that you don't have to go somewhere to be saved. You don't have to do something to be saved. God's not working in the flesh like he was dealing with Israel. You don't have to wait till a holy day and offer a sacrifice and get yourself circumcised and come unto God at a certain city, in a certain temple, in a certain way, and God will receive you. That's not how that time passed when God was dealing with Israel. That was true. You know how God receives you today? He said, while you were yet sinner, Christ died for you. Now, that's not coming in circumcision, that's coming in uncircumcision. That's uncleanness. Coming to God in your unclean condition, but not coming to a place, coming to the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's trusting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary as the payment of sin. And if you'll trust it, what did it say that it said in Colossians? Having forgiven you all trespasses. So it's not a place, you go to a person. And you trust not what you've done, but what he has done. And that's God's Son. And God's pleased when you trust the blood of Jesus Christ to be the payment of your sin. So pleased that he gives you as a gift everlasting life. So it's quite different than what we're reading over here. Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 48. It says, talked about the nation, about a time when a stranger would be among the nation of Israel, that is a Gentile. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let them come near and keep it. And it shall be he shall be as one that is born in thy land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. When God was dealing in time past with Israel through circumcision, and when he set up the law, Gentiles were excluded by that law. When the Bible said that there was a middle wall of partition between us, first of all, God said there's a difference between a Jew and a Gentile. Then he gave a sign, circumcision. That was a sign of the difference. Then he set up laws and ordinances to support that difference. And all the time that Israel was approaching God through a temple, there was a difference. All the time God was dealing with the law, there was a difference. Come over with me to Numbers chapter 20, Leviticus, the next book, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 20. Watch this difference. This is amazing. Leviticus chapter 20, and in I'm going to start in verse 22. It says, Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments and do them. The land where I bring you to dwell therein, whither the land I bring you to dwell in, spew you not out. Ye shall not walk in the manner of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give unto you a possession to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. This is definitely time past, isn't it? God separated the nation of Israel from all other people. Verse 25. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowl and clean. Ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. A man or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, he judges them. Verse 26, it says that they're going to be holy because the Lord is holy and he has separated them from other people to be his. And one of the things they had to do in order to be a holy people unto God is they couldn't eat all manner of food. They couldn't eat all manner of fowl or all manner of beast or all manner of creeping things. They had to be selective, according to Leviticus chapter 11 or 14, what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. And by what they ate and couldn't eat, they would be God's holy people and separate and different by what's written in the law. Now watch this interesting fact. Come over with me to Acts, which is the book before Romans. That's why I had you hold your place in Romans. I want you to come to Acts chapter 10. The chapter after the Apostle Paul was saved, Peter is told to do something that's got Peter baffled. Acts chapter 10, you come over here, and all of a sudden the Lord Jesus Christ gives a vision to Peter. And what the vision is Peter's on the rooftop, he's hungry, and off comes this beautiful picnic basket coming down out of heaven, this napkin wrapped by its four corners, and it comes down to him as he's on the roof of this house sleeping, and he's hungry, the Bible says, and all of a sudden it opens up, and he's ready to eat, but when it opens up, you know what he sees? All manner of four-footed beasts, fowls, and creeping things. He is a Jew. Is he allowed to eat all manner of fowl and creeping thing? No, because God made a difference between a Jew and a Gentile. And part of that difference is that Israel had laws, and under those laws, he can't eat everything. But the vision that Jesus Christ speaking to him says unto him in verse 11, I'll just start reading there, and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now watch Peter. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common, that everybody else eats, or unclean. I'm not allowed to eat unclean things. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God has cleansed, that call not common, call thou not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. All of a sudden, Peter is told by the Lord, eat all manner of things. Peter can't figure out why he's supposed to be able to do this, because under the law, when God made a difference, one of the differences was, Jews don't eat this, Gentiles do. But now, Peter not only has his vision, you know what the next thing the Holy Spirit instructs Peter to do? Go preach to a Gentile. Wait a minute, God separated the Jews from a Gentile. Now Peter is being sent to a Gentile. And Peter can't understand this. So you come over to verse 25, and it says, And was Peter was come into Cornelius, Cornelius met him, and Cornelius is a Gentile now, got his house filled with Gentile friends, and there's Peter. Met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him, but Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. You don't ever bow down to a man. Peter never allowed anyone to bow down to him. Don't you ever bow down to any man. It says in verse 27, And as he touched him, as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, and he said, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing that a man, for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So now Peter understands, wait a minute, not only is there difference in food now, wait a minute, there's difference in people. Come over with me to Acts chapter 15, because not only did Peter learn that circumcision didn't mean anything to God in Acts chapter 15, look what else Peter says in Acts chapter 15 as he relates back to this vision of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 15, it says in verse 7, When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, Men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now Peter begins to realize that ever since God called the Apostle Paul, things have been different. Circumcision, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. And all of a sudden now, Peter can eat anything. Why? Because God's not making a difference today between a Jew and a Gentile. And that the law, as you read that chapter, the law is put away and the Gentiles aren't under the law. And all of a sudden Peter begins to realize that God is dealing in a new way. And he begins to learn it from the Apostle Paul. Well, the best thing that you can know about the new way is come back now to our text, Ephesians chapter 2. And that means the way of approaching and pleasing God has been changed. Not only is it not through circumcision, not through the law, not through ordinances, not through baptisms, not through ceremonies, not through feast days, not through Israel, there's only one way to come to God, and it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by the work that He has done. Ephesians chapter 2, and it says in verse 14, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of the twain, of Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Jesus Christ did the work, and now it's by Jesus Christ, it's through His blood, it's by the cross, that there's now peace for you and I through Jesus Christ. Peter said that when He made no difference, He purified Gentiles, how? By faith. You know how you get saved today? Where here we were all, where there's no difference, but no difference in the sense that we're all condemned under sin. But then there's the work of the cross that takes us from condemned under sin to peace with God. And that's what salvation is. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 8 and 9. And look how it's done. It's for by grace are ye saved. Now grace means getting what you do not deserve and cannot earn. If you weren't under the covenants and promises, you can't earn eternal life. You can't go offer a sacrifice, go to the temple. You can't. It wasn't given to you. And not only that, when it says by grace, you don't deserve it. Why? We're all under sin. You know what we deserve? Every one of us deserves to be damned, condemned to hell. We're sinners. We've all rebelled against God. Our ancestors worshipped idols, and we grew up worshipping whatever we wanted in any way we want. We just decided out of our own thinking what was right and what was wrong rather than turning to God and finding out that He did a work for us that He wanted us to know about, the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But now God's willing to save us, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's what God wants out of you right now. He wants faith. He wants your faith in the blood of Christ, in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's the cross work because the next thing it says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." Not something you do. It's not made with hands. It's a gift of God. That's what Jesus Christ died for, to give you eternal life as a free gift. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." God wants you to realize that before Him, you're a condemned sinner on your way to hell, but He loved you, and Jesus Christ died for you, and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be reconciled unto God, have peace with God, and according to Ephesians 2:8, be saved. Saved from damnation. Saved from the penalty of hell. And it's a free gift to you. It's not what you do. It's not what you earn. It's not what you deserve. It's all contrary to that. It's a gift of God to you by His grace. But that gift is not received until you exercise your faith in it. And what I mean by exercise, it's a decision. You have to realize that's what Calvary is all about. That's what the cross is about. Jesus Christ died there for me, rose again so that I could be united with God and saved eternally. And when you understand that, then you have to make a decision that I'll trust that to save me. And when you do, God saves you immediately. That's when you receive the gift of eternal life, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord that it's not like it was in the old days when we were cut off from all these hope and promises. But now it's to us, and we can be made nigh unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this message. We realize it's not a message just for everyone here, but it's a message for everyone in the whole world. And Father, we who know it need to share it. And those who have heard it for the first time need to think about it, need to make a decision in their heart about what they're going to trust to save them. Their own works of their flesh, their own activity and going to buildings and sitting in pews, or are they going to trust the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to be their full, complete payment of sin, and by trusting in Him, please You and receive the gift of eternal life? I pray they'll make the right decision, and we can be of a help to them if they'll call on us for it. So thank You, Lord, for this day and what we've learned, and for most of all, the message of salvation. in the name